Our sermon scripture is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As the sermon notes say, this is the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God.
In John chapter 1, who is the Word? It's Jesus. It is Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about Jesus today. First, we're going to look at the Scriptures in another different sense as we go through this sermon series on a statement of belief. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Most. The Niagara River drops approximately 170 feet at the American and Canadian Falls, and above those falls are some swirling rapids, and there is calm water before the rapids where boats can go. And I'm not sure if it's still there, but there used to be a pedestrian bridge that would cross that span, and on that bridge was a sign that had two questions. Do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Important questions, as you may not know what's coming next. In his book, 6 Hours One Friday, Max Licato tells a story of how he and his boat survived through a hurricane. An old seaman gave Licato some advice to take his boat into deep water and drop an anchor off each of the corners of the boat, 4 anchors down into the ocean depths. And then they prayed that those anchors would hold. And Max and his boat survived that, and he learned an important lesson that day, that all of us need an anchor to hold to when trouble comes, when storms come in life. Now, personally, I have been receiving some physical therapy on my knee. I have, quote, severe osteoarthritis. I won't ask you to raise your hand to see how many of you have that, because I know that many of us might. But prior to leading up to one of those knee replacement things, I have to go through therapy. And this last week, the therapist had me do a different exercise that I had not done before. And you take a resistance tube, and I had to step inside that tube. The one end was tied to clipped on a metal hook on a post in the room. And it went around my hips, and I was supposed to back up. And as that resistance got greater, I'm looking at that very small hook, trying to figure out how much that's going to hurt when it let loose and came in. And evidently, my legs are strong enough that I could keep going. And the therapist said, you better stop because you're on the X. And I looked down, and there is an X on the floor, because the instructions that come out with that resistance tube gives them specifications of how far it can be stretched until something breaks. And so I stay in front of that X every time I do that exercise. Anchors, boat anchors, metal hooks that are anchors, Anchors are designed to be strong and to be steadfast. You can count on them, keeping boats and people safe throughout storms and workouts, holding everything in place. The Bible has been and can be described as an anchor for Christians. The truth and teachings of the Bible enable Christians to stay strong, to stay steadfast when storms come. And that anchor helps us stay steadfast in faith, anchored in faith in Jesus Christ. Thinking about those questions on that bridge above Niagara Falls, do you have a Bible? Do you know how to use it? The swirling rapids, whatever might come in life, God has blessed us with his written word, with an anchor. And we are to read it and we are to know how to use it in our daily faith. When I think about the anchor, the Bible being an anchor in my life, I always think of Peter. Peter the disciple. He was known as Sinking Peter. He got out of the boat and started walking across the water, but then he noticed the wind and the waves and he started to sink. He was declaring Peter. He was the one that identified Jesus as the Christ. He's also known as denying Peter for having disowned knowing Jesus. But Peter's also known as the forgiven Peter. In John chapter 21, when Jesus asked him three different times, "Do you love me?" And Jesus forgave Peter. And Peter was known as the rock. And upon this church, Jesus would build. Upon that rock, Jesus would build the church. And Peter has always been a rock, an anchor in my life. Back when I was very young and in high school, I got to portray Peter on Easter morning. And that thought of how the pastor and the teachers used that story to influence us, our confirmants at that time, has left a lifelong lesson on how to make use of the anchor of Peter being the rock. And even though the Bible is our anchor, I trust you know or you realize that Christians have different beliefs about the Bible, about what's in the Bible, how to interpret the Bible. Some people believe that the Bible is God-inspired, and they believe in a literal interpretation. Others think that the Bible is God-inspired, but interpret symbolically rather than literally. Still others believe the Bible is an ancient text that is a source of moral truths that should be respected. Pew Research, from 8 or 9 years ago, the most recent research I could come across, 75% of Christians say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. 75% of Christians say they believe the Bible is the Word of God. So the question is, do we really believe it is the anchor of our lives? And Christians are divided on how to interpret the Bible. 39% say the Bible's text is the Word of God and to be taken literally. 39%. 36% say it should not be interpreted literally, or they express another opinion. A separate 18% of Christians view the Bible as a book written by people, not by God. 42% said reading the Bible or other religious materials is an essential part of what being a Christian means to them personally. 42%. So when I go back and ask the question, do you have a Bible? Do you know how to use it? Only 42% might be able to say yes. Historically, the Bible is known as and described to be the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. Inspired. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In saying that the Bible is inspired, the inspired word of God, it's meant that God is the true author of all Scripture. Everything that's contained in the Bible was written by God. He inspired people with his Spirit to write down his word. Inerrant. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. God made use of human authors to write down his word without any error. Now, there have been translation errors, and that's why there are committees that really try to study the original language to make sure that we have the inspired word of God. And as archaeology has uncovered old manuscripts, they have really testified to the truth of the original translations of Scripture. So it's inerrant, without any errors. And the Bible is infallible. The Bible is the infallible word of God. To believe that the Bible is infallible is to believe that Scriptures are incapable of teaching any error. The Bible, as inspired, inerrant, and infallible. The Bible is the anchor of faith we rely upon and hold to, especially in times of storms and in times of trouble. Storms. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, to grow up in the knowledge and the understanding, and the inspired word of God gives us that anchor in life that we can extend, we can be safe from those cunning craftiness of people in the world. James 1:5-6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. In our ongoing study of a Christian statement of belief, it's vitally important that we rely upon the truth and the teaching of Scripture, the Bible, our faith anchor, for a statement of faith is a summary of the Bible's most important teachings. Last week, our statement of focus was on the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one being in three persons. According to Barna Research, different than the Pew, most adults believe Jesus was God. Most adults believe that Jesus was God. Most is 56% believe that Jesus was God. And that percentage drops the younger that you are. Learning what the Bible teaches is important. So what does the Bible teach us about Jesus? If you look at the sermon outline, you're going to have some homework, if you so desire, where on page 5 in the bulletin, what does the Bible teach us about Jesus? I've given you a subject, and then there is a verse of passage to help us understand that teaching of the Scripture of who Jesus truly is. And I encourage you to take that home and read through those passages and write down in your own hand what that Bible teaches about Jesus. He is the fulfillment of prophecy, and we can experience that as we remember back to our Christmas celebrations. He is the Word who became flesh. When we look at John chapter 1, I direct your attention to verse 11, and I'm going to substitute in the word or the name Jesus. Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There were people, the Israelites, that did not receive Jesus. Yet to all who received Jesus, to those who believed in Jesus' name, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And that has that aspect of being reborn into the faith. Our natural birth and our spiritual birth comes as we recognize Jesus as the Word, Jesus as the Son of God. And in this series on statement of belief, this time I've given you your own little homework to work through, and we're looking at what the Bible teaches us about Jesus, but we're also dealing with that other intention through this series, how to positively interact with people who don't know Jesus is God's Son. To have that kind of conversation with someone, we have to know and rely upon the teachings of Scripture. That's where we get our information. We have to value people as people, and we have to listen to them. We have to listen to them, and we have to find points of connection, that common ground where we can be friends and talk. We have to work hard at understanding their perspective. Instead of passing judgment upon that person, we need to make our conversation not filled with Christian jargon, with big words, but that we can easily understand one another. And we're to welcome questions, and we have to be brave. There are plenty of times when people ask me questions, and I don't know the answer right away, but I get back to them. Welcome those questions and admit you don't know, but you'll find out, and that can lead to another conversation. And you can ask the person that you're talking with whether they're okay for you to pray with them. And if they say yes, have a prayer. If they say no, pray for that individual and your conversation with that person and your own faith understanding after that conversation ends. Statements of belief gathered from God's holy word that instructs us as we grow in wisdom through our faith. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, I pray that you would continue to open up your word to each of us, that we would spend time reading it and studying it and making its wisdom our own, that we might be a light in this world, a light of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide us. And Lord, may you continue to be that anchor in our hearts, that we would worship you and serve you. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Please rise as you're able for our sermon hymn. As I was thinking about this song, hymn 94 came to mind, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. And it talks about how sweet that name is. And it talks about Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Many, many things to Jesus. And join with us as we sing Jesus Messiah, oh, the sweet name of Jesus.
You turn to the back of your bulletin, you'll see the prayer concerns to be praying for Kathy Knofsinger and her family upon the death of her mother. As I talked to Kathy's daughter, Vicky, on Thursday, I believe it was, I asked Vicky if she knew who was doing the service, and she kind of chuckled on the phone. David Vall, the former senior pastor here at St. John's, is doing the interim pastorate work at St. John's Holgate, and the family is meeting with David this morning, or this afternoon, to prepare for that service. To be praying for Pauline Merrillet, the mother of Roger, and to be praying for David as David Augustine, as he has been transferred to Toledo Hospital. And I had a call from Joan Greaser's daughter, Alicia, yesterday. The surgery went very well. She's at Roop Rehab for a period of time. Would welcome cards, ask for no flowers. She's allergic to flowers. She's not feeling the best, so she's asking for no visitors at this time. But cards would be a blessing. Let's pray. Gracious Lord God, we come before you as your people. Lord, in reality, all people of the earth are your children. And I pray for those who have received you, and I pray for those who haven't received you. I pray for the word of the Bible, the word Jesus, just to fall gently upon our hearts and minds, that we would know your peace and know your joy. Lord, as a congregation, we pray for these concerns. We pray for Kathy and her family as they mourn the loss, the death of Shirley. We also thank you for Shirley's life of faith and that witness of knowing Jesus. We pray for Pauline and for Roger and the rest of the family as she goes through these assessments and this rehab. Lord, we pray for David and Mary as David continues to deal with pneumonia, and we pray that the care that he is receiving is bringing healing. We pray for Joan as she goes through this time of recovery. Lord, we pray for Bev as she continues to have some health concerns. Lord, we pray for Rosemary and for Phyllis and for Leah and for Lynn. Lord, may they know your strength, may they know your sense of peace and your sense of endurance and perseverance. Lord, we pray these in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
With Pastor Eric doing this series on what we believe, I thought it would be appropriate that at the end of each sermon have a chance to respond, yes, as a congregation, we believe this. And so I have printed here a version of the second part of the Apostles' Creed about Jesus, which we'll read together. But this is a chance to say, yes, as a congregation, we do believe it. It's a chance for us to interact with it. Every time we hear, it's a chance to hear the story again, to read the gospel story again, to eternalize it, to let it change us so that we can share it. And Paul says, if this part is not true, then we indeed have no hope. So let us confess together the statement of faith found printed here in the bulletin.
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Father's only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge both the living and the dead. Amen.
In response to all the good things God gives us, I invite our ushers forward to accept our morning offerings and tithes. Thank you. We give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee.
Our closing song is entitled, What He's Done. And in the chorus, it's saying, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. Following the spoken benediction, we will then sing the chorus again of What He's Done.
Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who has died on the cross for all your sins and risen to give you new life, bless and keep you forever. Amen.